Now, you would have caught on that I'm talking about little things today. And from little things, big things grow. If you've ever been gardening and suddenly found yourself with either a splinter under your nail or a thorn in your finger, you realise that, yes, that little thing grows into incredible pain or annoyance. I had the glue, the super glue, one little drop of super glue. I won't ask how many of you actually have tried to super glue and suddenly found you've got your fingers stuck together, but it only takes even a half a drop for something stupid like that to happen. And I won't try and ask who's tried to use a drop of poison to do something, but I don't think it requires much for a drop of poison to have an effect on another person. So it could be some people's cooking could fit into that category. But, right. But just a little thing, and all of those little things that I had there, and I could have collected heaps more, and you could have added heaps more, a little thing can be so, so significant. In the Bible, we have lots of illustrations of people. Particularly in the Old Testament, we have some of those kings who were disastrous, some of the kings who were good. And we know that, don't we? One person can have a profound effect. We've seen it around the world. I mean, wherever we look, we see some of the despotic leaders of the world causing all sorts of trouble and having opinions. And you know it in your own families, in your own situations. One person can have a profound effect upon the whole family. So, also, we can see that not only those things, but a look, an action, or an attitude, a little thing. A person can say a word and it can be misunderstood and go like that. Or a person can say a word and it can be embracing. So we realise that a little thing, an insy thing, sometimes even an insignificant, unthought about word or issue can cause all sorts of trouble or all sorts of blessing. So, but each one of us, as I've said to the children, they're little, they're young, we're all older. But at the same time, each one of us is so important in doing something for God. We've just sung the potter's hand. I give my life. I want to live my life through your eyes each day. Is that true? Is that what we really want to do? To live our life through the eyes of God each day. Just me on earth in God's sight. Yes. Yes. Now, I want to talk today about something that I found interesting anyhow. The Australia Day Awards. I don't know how many of you watch them, and we wouldn't normally watch them, but it happened that we put it on and we were sort of enthralled in a way. We're amazed. And I just think this really is where we are as Christians. Now, the first woman who got Australian of the Year was Grace Tame, and I don't know that many of us had ever heard of her before. Amazing woman. And she is a woman who was sexually abused at 15 by her 58-year-old school teacher. And so she lived with that. The laws in Tasmania forbade her to speak about it. She wasn't allowed to talk about what had happened to her because of the law. It's great, isn't it? How liberating is the law? But anyhow, he was jailed, and I guess she would say she's lived with the consequence ever since. But she took the award and she said, "He said to me, keep your mouth shut. Don't speak about this. And she said, I am now going to tell everyone what has happened because I don't want people to be in that situation anymore. So she's got a group called Let Her Speak, and people have come out of the woodwork saying that they have had the same experience, so horrible, so nasty, and now they're speaking out about it, telling people. Does that have a comparison in Christian life? Like, there's just one of us. And I'm not saying abused, but I am saying, do we keep it inside of us, what God has done? And we don't talk about what God has done. She's saying, I am going to help people who are in that situation, and I'm going to give them a voice. And wouldn't it be good if we could give people a voice and say, this is what God has done. Yes. Be, as it were, free to live now as God wants you to live. I just think that is so sad, but so exciting. And I think for us as Christians, from one little thing, this whole can of worms has been opened. And maybe for us, in some way, we can open up for people a liberation that they've not known before. We need to take it and say, I am not going to be quiet. I am going to talk about Jesus. Whoops. Then we had an interesting lady, an Aboriginal lady, which is quite appropriate, in the Australia Day Awards. I don't know if any of you saw it, but she got up and she said, I can hardly speak. She was so excited. And she just shared her situation. Now, she was the first Aboriginal teacher who was recognised in the 70s. An incredible woman, Miriam Rose Ungamira Borman. Long name on the envelope. But what is she saying? She is just saying this simple situation, Dadiri. And her thing is, we need to not rush as much as we do. We need to just go gently. Now you'd say, well, that of course would be an Aboriginal idea, and I guess it is. But she is saying something again for us as Christians, I think. Stop. Listen. Think. Have some awareness and wait. Now, wouldn't that be good? Rushing around, let me say, doesn't mean you're more godly. In fact, it means you're just escaping sometimes from things. We need to take notice of this lady. Christians, stop. Think. Listen to what God is saying. Wait. We read the verse, don't we? Be still and know that I am God. Do we? Are we? Wait upon the Lord. Wait. These are some of the things that we need to take notice of, so that one little me or one little you can maybe absorb what God is saying and doing and move from there. Then we had an interesting young woman. She got the Young Australian of the Year award. She's Isabel Marshall. And she and her business partner, so to speak now, are both members of local churches. One, Allgate Baptist, involved at Allgate Baptist, and the other at St Bart's Anglican. She started when she was 18 on a mission, sort of a mission awareness trip. And what did she find? She found, to her horror, that girls of her age, and actually much younger, girls who were 13, were missing out and dropping out of school simply because they didn't have the basic sanitary stuff that girls needed. because they'd been born girls, and each month their period came, they just didn't have the sanitary stuff, and so they were embarrassed, they didn't go to school. So at 13, she says, we met girls who walked 3 hours every day to get to school with nothing but dirty rags, and I won't go into further detail, but just the embarrassment. 3 hours walk to school, 3 hours walk back, and just finding, no, embarrassed. Laughed at by the men and embarrassed. Reality is, she says, that 30% of girls in developing countries still drop out of school because of this situation. How embarrassing. So, what did she do? Well, she decided that maybe something could be done, and she now has this group called Taboo. And she, along with her partner, her business partner, they just operate this. Our mission is simply to fight, she says, period poverty. Now, again, one girl at 18 sees a need and says, well, I could do something here. I could do something here. And so starts to do something, and this little idea develops into this enormous situation. Now, friends, I'm not suggesting that we all go out looking for something, what can I do, and then developing it, but I'm saying that we've all got situations on our hearts and minds. And my theory is, let's not start something new, but let's get in with what's going and bring a Christian presence to it. Now, we don't need to start another Lions Club or another this or another Zonta or but let's get in there and bring the Christian presence and make friendship with people so that the word of God spreads. We're very keen on starting things and people have to come to us. I don't think that's biblical always. I think what Jesus says was, get out. And I think that's probably what we need to do. Get out and get involved. And do something that honours him. Now, the next lady, and this is the last one of the four ladies, the next lady was Rosemary. And Rosemary was a large Kenyan lady, gorgeous, and she came up on the stage almost dancing. Wonderful. Now, she came to Australia in 1999, just 20 years ago, basically, with a few dollars, some clothes and some gifts from strangers. She was escaping violence, domestic violence, and tribal war in her own country in Kenya. Now, when she got here, she didn't find Australians friendly. She found that people were not friendly. She was lonely. And she was sad. She was glad she'd escaped from what she'd escaped from. But she was suddenly stuck in a situation where she felt quite lonely. And she was in a flat unit a number of stories up, and no one spoke to her. So what did she do? Well, one Christmas, she wrote a Christmas card to everyone on her floor. She put her name, a Christmas greeting, and she put it in their letterbox on that floor. And she said it was interesting. All of a sudden, people smiled at her. People said hello. People started to talk. How complicated is that? Friends, are we concerned about the people in our street? Are we going to do something? So what did she do? Well, she developed, and a film or a documentary's been made called Rosemary's Way, and she now helps migrants who fight domestic violence and loneliness and all the rest of it. So what has she done? Well, she has morning tea, she has dinner, she has dances, she has road trips. It's blossomed into an enormous thing. simply because these people were lonely and just felt neglected and lost in Australia. Now, we laugh, perhaps, and say, lost in Australia, you know, hasn't everyone got friends and people? Well, no, they haven't. They haven't. She says her early years in Australia were terribly and terrifyingly lonely. How amazing. See, friends, we're Christians. We've got a message to tell, like the First Lady. There are areas of ministry all around that we could get involved in. And then there are simple things that we could do just to say hello to our neighbour. Very important. The question is, are we really concerned that much for people who don't know Jesus? Are we really concerned? Now, these four ladies, just simply because of their interest in people, this last lady, she won the local award because the people in her community just adore her because of what she has done and made them feel welcome and loved. Could that be said of us in our street? That our neighbours really appreciate us for who we are and because we've made them feel welcome or we talk to them? I mean, do we have a concern for the neighbours in the street? We need to have a rethink about why we're actually around on earth, what we're doing. Now, a couple of other little things. In Matthew, we've got the story of the mustard seed. And Jesus said, you know, this incy little seed that you can hardly see. And if you've seen mustard seed, it is so fine, just straight through the sieve. It's just like dust. And Jesus said, that's how the kingdom of God grows, like a little mustard seed, and it develops. We know that saying, big oaks from little acorns. But we also know the story, don't we, of Wah Stone. Now, who would have thought this crippled boy, refugee, boat person from Vietnam would arrive here, do some theological training, and then go back? And we hear week by week the Company of Grace situation. Isn't that a mustard seed growth? It is incredible. And if he'd have said, no, I'm just a refugee, I'm just a boat person, I have to walk with calipers, well, that would have been lost. So we who are quite able-bodied and, well, I will say, still with some dementia, a brain functioning, what can we do? What can we do in this situation? The other one I've got there is Gladys Aylward. She was a missionary a number of years ago, and some of you who are older would know her story, the little woman, she was called, the small woman, and the Inn of the Sixth Happiness was made. She started her ministry by buying a child for ninepence because the child was sick and the mother, I think, was going to put her out to just beg. And so Gladys bought her, and then she saw the need of others. Friends, there's lots of need around, and we can get involved. Let's never think I'm too small. What Paul chose for a reading was, none of you were famous, none of you were rich, none of you were spectacular, but God has chosen us. So what are we going to do with those whom God has chosen? Us. We're often fairly critical at looking at other people and saying, oh, look at them. But actually, the question is, what about us? Let's not look at the faults or the weaknesses of other people. Let's look at who we are. I love this story that Joyce read last year. A young couple found their dream home. Shortly after purchasing it, the couple sat at their kitchen table for brekkie. The wife looked out at the window, and to her surprise, she saw her neighbour hanging dirty laundry on the clothesline. "That laundry isn't clean," she said. "It's still dirty. Someone needs to teach her a thing or two when it comes to washing clothes." A couple of days later, the couple sat down at their kitchen table again for another meal. But this time, when the wife saw her neighbour hanging clothes on the clothesline, something was different. "Wow, look," she said. The surprised wife said to her husband, "The clothes are so clean. Someone must have taught her how to wash those clothes." Without raising his head, her husband said, "Actually, love, I got up early this morning and washed our windows." And so it is with life. What we see when watching others depends on the window through which we look. Washing our own windows from time to time changes our perspective. Why do we see a speck of sawdust, as annoying as that can be, in our friend's eye when we've got a great big log sticking in our own? So, let's not blame others for not doing stuff, but let's pick up and run with what we can do. I've got two people there who it wasn't them. They saw clearly the need, but it was the opposition that they faced, and we will face opposition. Mother Teresa was told, because she was told by the Pope, actually, because you're a woman, you won't be able to achieve much. You can be a nun. Well, she was a nun, but she wasn't a nothing. She was major in what she did. Imagine if she'd have taken notice and just decided, well, I'll just sit back here. The other one, of course, is William Carey, a famous Baptist minister. He was a shoemaker and pastor. And he saw the world. He had a big picture of the world. And so he went to the sort of mission group and said, the world needs to hear of Jesus. And they said, sit down, young man. When God wants to convert the heathen, he will do it without you or me. Now imagine if William Carey had said, oh, well, that's the end of that. That's their vision and my vision must be wrong. So friends, if you've got a vision for God, well, let's get behind you and let's do it. Don't think, oh, I'm only one person. The world has been changed by one people or individual people. And just that lovely reminder that we've got. You mightn't think you've got much, but 5 loaves and 2 fish fed a lot of people. But that wasn't the end of the story. The end of the story is that after the disciples had given out the loaves and the fish, what happened then? Go and collect what's left over. And what did they collect? 12 baskets full, which meant each one got a basket. And isn't that true? When we do what God asks with limited resources, we are abundantly blessed. So, why would we hold back? Why would we hold back on doing what God asks? Now, I know some of you are saying, oh, Colin, we can't do anything else. Yeah, now, I'm not asking you to do anything else. I'm just asking you to be you. On my office door, I've got a notice that says, be yourself, everyone else is taken. And that's all God asks. Be who he has made you to be, but keep your eyes open and allow yourself to develop and to do what God asks you to do. Now, some of you are saying, Colin, I've got my hands full with the family. That's fine. That's what God has asked you to do. That's wonderful. But God asks others of us in the room to do other things, and we need to do that. We need to pick that up and run with it. Now, today, I've actually got, and some of you are saying, oh, not another gimmick. No. I hope you haven't taken it as a gimmick, because if you haven't been here before, we've had these stones, or I've had these stones, and I've asked you to take one and to put it in a spot where you frequent, maybe in your garden, on your mantelpiece or whatever, and to think of just three people to pray for, or to write it on a card and put it in your Bible. Now, you would know that the Bible talks of two little things. The Bible talks of a pinch of salt, and the Bible talks of a pinch of yeast. The salt brings flavour and permeates and helps. The yeast is symbolic of causing dough to rise, but actually Jesus uses it as symbolism for evil. Here I've got some little packets of salt, and so I'll put them out there. And again, not gimmicky, but I'd just like you to take that and put it somewhere, again, where you can see it from time to time, and just remind yourself that you, like these four women, and like the Bible, is full of people who were the salt of the earth. And you need to ask, am I? What am I doing? Am I praying for people? And am I the salt of the earth? Are people happy to meet me? Are people happy to see me? Do I reflect the love of Jesus? Or am I a bit of a pain? Am I prepared to put a Christmas card in the neighbour's letterbox to say, g'day, or come in for a coffee? Or do I just not care about their spiritual well-being? So, it's interesting, we're coming up to Easter, and I've been thinking about what we might do, and I thought we might think about the question when Jesus asked the disciples, who do people say that I am? And Helen said to me the other day, you should ask our next door neighbour. Who does he think Jesus is? So I'm just working on that and thinking, that's a good question. I have a good relationship with him, and I just wonder if that's not the next step in a bit more. Because do I really care about him? Do I care about him spiritually? Do we care about people spiritually? We care about each other. We're here today, and that's wonderful. But hang on, there's another 6.5 days to care about other people. Let's pray together. Father, whatever we think of Australia Day and awards, we are amazed with the four women who in so many spheres of life have touched other lives and have seen needs and have just helped people. And we're delighted we have two young women who are followers of you, who are part of this vision and this dream. But Lord, we want to be part of that too, and we know that we might be just a little individual person, but we can be salt. We can be prayerful. We can be practical. So help us. During this week, just keep prodding us and poking us and shaking us so that we might really wake up to who we are in Jesus and then to follow that through. Lord, help us not to see the specks in other people's eyes when we've got logs, but help us to have a clear vision and to be serious about living for you. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.